of every transaction, they'll institute whatever rules they can.
Oh yeah, I mean it's just going to become out. It's just going to become in your face. Oh, Jules is there, so we might be able to go live.
The trick is not to use government issued cash. That's all it is. It's the only way they can control it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like, you know, it's like my friend here. He's like, how do people, you know, how is this ever going to change, right? Because he thinks like, you know, we need a good revolution. I'm like, no. No, we don't need a revolution. It's not. That's never going to work. It's a false into the same pattern.
I think we should make up our own currency instead of bitcoins. We should make shit coins, petrify our own fecal matter, and trade it. There's a lot of shit, and people are full of it. Continue.
Yeah, well,
continue. I'm just losing it. We might be back online soon for a good, hopefully for about 40 minutes. So. Hold your, let me, Jules like, let me log in. Let me log into Tel Aviv. What's going on over there, Tel Aviv? Well, we're just hating on what you're saying and want you to stop. Did you see, now I watched the debate. Did you guys watch any of the debate just to see how fucking disgusting and putrid? I know Greg, I spoke to Greg yesterday.
You can't, I know, can't okay. watch it.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, I spoke to Greg yesterday. I know he and I kind of watched it just to, you know, just to see the degeneracy.
I couldn't watch, you know, I told you I was watching it for about 10 minutes and then when I saw where it was, and weren't really paying attention anymore. It wasn't doing anything for me.
Yeah, I kind of did, and then there were some distractions. But I pretty much saw the first, like, 45, 50 minutes, and then I had it turned up so that I could, you know, as I was going into the kitchen, I heard.
It sounded to me, from what people were saying, is that, what's her name, had the questions before the
debate. You could tell. She had an earpiece in. There was a number of things that were not, that don't pass the sniff test with her, but also with him. He failed because the whole thing didn't make any sense. I mean, he could have, if he was what he said he, if he is who he claims to be, he could have absolutely destroyed her. There's no reason. And got bad advice, but once I saw it going that way, I was like, this is just the same old, I would the old boss, same with the new boss.
Oh, damn it, yes. He has more respect for women than we give him credit for.
Right.
I'd made a statement that they were playing by the rules. And my one friend said, oh, no, Trump's taking it easy on her. And I said, well, there's only so much he can say. He can't bring up anything about all the people that, you know, dead in the wake of the Clintons and so much more.
He wouldn't even have to do that. All he would have to do is just make the claim like you're on stage right now. What do you say to the people currently right now that are sitting in a jail cell? And there are many of them sitting in jail cells who released confidential data, people who work for the government.
And Jolly. They have been,
yeah.
Looks like that you got it on hold. You hit
Skype. In Skype, we verified that it's not online, that UCY Radio was not online. So regardless of whether it was maybe on hold or not, because I killed both calls.
Yeah.
I tried to call.
Maybe we should try to dump everything.
And you saw that it was offline, right?
Right. It did. Yeah, it was the same for me. I had a little arrow poked up.
All right, so regardless of whether something was on hold or not, we should have seen a green light in Skype, correct?
She's going to hang it up. I think that's going to fix it, and then you'll have to reconnect.
Well, I just...
All right, well, I'm going to go take a dump into little coin-shaped files, and I'll be back.
All right.
Hey, nice.
Stay connected.
Hey, yeah, you too, man.
Right on, bro.
All right, yeah, I guess you got to call Remy back in, right, Charles?
No, I think I can just connect to UCY when it comes back up, and then I already have you guys, so I should be able to do that.
Oh, okay, so I won't go anywhere.
What I was doing this morning, I should have easily been able to do, no pun to Vince, easily.
I got you, Erner.
I should have
easily.
I should have easily been able to do that. And I'm like, why can't I call Greg? Why can't I get a connection? Because you guys are both online. I was on UCY. And Jules is saying in there this server needs to get dumped or something. So, but I mean, regardless of whether the call was on hold or not, I didn't see it online, right, Vince? And you didn't see it online. Right. You saw that it was offline.
Yeah, it was had the arrow, whatever that.
Please means. Convey that to Jules, because I don't want her to think that I did something that. I don't think that she thinks that. He says shows you connected, but call on hold. So, but there's no active. There's still no active account. Obviously she may not have logged in yet. I need to call Dell and tell them to take this piece of shit with Windows 10 computer back. That's what she's saying. Dell. I mean, they're fucking. They're right. They're the new world fucking order, man. That's the only reason why they are as big as they are. Is because they're right the fuck in there with everything. It says this was Shali's Spreaker link, not active anymore. I really should kind of have that, so if something happens, I could you know, take the show over to another. I don't know. Shoulds and butts were Christmas and Hanukkah, we'd all be fucking commoner shit. So we should be able to get a good update in there. I'm recording what we have now over the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh.
On here, I guess I should have fucking done that. I should do that all the time, just in case, you know. That way, at least, you know, if I can have, I would have something that, you know, Jules could upload or whatever. Or if I had guests on, that, you know, that we could just continue what we're talking about and then get it updated later.
Should have mentioned that earlier. We could have just actually done something like that.
Yeah.
I broadcast broadcast using this tool, and then record with Audacity. And my bandwidth out here in the country is so low, whatever right. It's called. How much comes through the fire anyway? So I knocked you off air sometimes, but so it was like a disaster first time. After that, I just kept recording and kept trying to.
I see we got it fixed.
Is it online? Yeah, I'm still seeing a symbol that shows not online.
Yeah, it still shows an arrow.
No, the UCY.TV, that's forwarded, but the UCY radio is still, which is what we call into, is still.
No, the top one, not the one with the Gmail. Right. The UCY.TV, right? Or am I backwards here?
You know, the UCY.TV has a forward.
Okay.
The UCY radio just has a zero or an O with no green light. Let's say we don't have the green light.
Right. Yeah, so. It's empty in the middle. Yeah, I thought the UC, I thought it used to be reversed there with the email contact.
Right.
But maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that that. We're so over the target, and you know, obviously Clint has been over the target for so long now that they know who we are. They know that if people start thinking in terms of what Clint has been researching and conveying out there that people will.
It's on now.
People will fucking.
It's on.
Yes, it is on. Actually,
there you go. And I'm adding. And Vince, you can obviously you can hang out with us today. You know, UCY, I think we're back. We're connected.
All right, I'm going to jump out, Shali. I'm working with a cult over here, and
a cult. Did
so
you
anyways,
say?
Anyways, I'll listen in intently.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
I thought he said goat.
A goat? Okay, I thought he said cult.
Man.
You have a cult.
Take it easy, man.
Take care, Vince.
Later.
All right, so it looks like we're connected to UCY. Everybody, we're back. We have probably about a half hour to talk about these things. And Clint Richardson of the Corporation Nation, and many documentary films. Your Strawman, you can find his book at strawmanstory.info. And we got Greg. Greg is involved.
Hey, stop.
Hey, okay.
We've got an echo.
We do. Yeah, it's going right to Tel Aviv.
It's gone now. I had UCY on before when it was off. Okay. So we're just getting a feedback loop. I turned it on. We should be good.
Okay, so we got Clint. We've got Greg, who's involved in the... Now, wait a minute. We just lost Clint. Oy vey. Greg, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You hear me?
We lost Clint. Now we're going to have a problem again. It's doing it again. Clint.
All right. Sorry about that. I still had the dang station on myself. So
the Yahoo DM.
I had to find it.
All right, let me see here. So, yes, we got
there
Clint,
you go.
And we have Greg, who is involved in the oil production, post-production? I always get that.
Production and process.
Production and process, that's right. And he's also involved in technology as well now, circling and around apps and, apps for...
I think we can call Greg a bit of a propagandist at this point for the oil industry, can't we?
Propagandist, there you go.
Yeah, both negative and positive.
But is
I'd say I'm more like a realist.
Is oil really bad? I mean, if the earth produces it, you know. I mean, Greg's brought a lot of like really really interesting like I never thought of it that way before, and we don't have enough of those people out there that that bring. Take opposite day and fucking say, listen, you asshole, oil's not the demon that they make it out to be.
You know, so I guess what it is, the greatest lesson you can take in life is that be a contrarian about anything that comes out of the media or so-called science, all this artifice. When they're telling you something is bad, chances are it's probably good. And if they tell you something is good, chances are it's probably very bad.
That's right. And we found that to be the case. It's been
very. If you think about it, everything across the board, everything they tell you is good is bad, and everything that's bad is good. So it goes to reason that, they've been lying to us about nuclear, they've been lying to us about oil, they tell us vaccines are great, hey, McDonald's is healthy, right?
Yeah.
So...
they're loving it, man. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, and now they've turned everybody's brains to mush. And
Here's something you can explain to me. Why is it that year after year, somehow you got all these healthy people competing in the Olympics, and somehow McDonald's is the official restaurant of the Olympics?
That's right.
No matter what country, McDonald's is the official restaurant. I'm sure that McDonald's is packed full of Olympians that are chowing down on a Big Mac and a freaking fries and a shake between each competition, right?
Yeah, if you're an athlete, the first thing that you want to – it's obvious that you get all ripped up and strong and you're like a specimen of athleticism. It was Quarter Pounders and Nuggets that made that.
Absolutely. So
you know it. And McDonald's is...
Well, to be fair, I've heard that the Olympics is a drunken debauchery full of sex and, all kinds of things. So it could be that McDonald's is that late night, restaurant, that 24-hour restaurant where people go... to binge after they've been drinking and doing drugs and having sex. That might be what it is about the Olympics.
Yeah, but
that's why it's the official
restaurant. They're not going to blame McDonald's when they missed, you know, winning the, you know, the gold because the, you know, that friggin' nasty nugget filth that was that's pulsating through their liver and destroying it stopped them from, you know, the javelin from going that extra little bit, or, you know, the high jump or the long jump. They're not going to sit there and say, you know, I fucking blame McDonald's. I had a quarter pounder last night.
It's possible that all Olympic athletes are given a vaccine to McDonald's before they go to the Olympics.
That blocks all the toxins?
They're just taking massive doses of laxatives.
That's right. They just...
There you go.
Or they eat it, and it's like, oh, that tastes so good, and then they induce vomiting. So it just, they don't, you know, they only absorb a certain amount of the carcinogenic filth that the McDonald's is. So McDonald's bad, no doubt about it. I have not eaten there in it forever. I do eat at Chick-fil-A from time to time, and but I think that's pretty much it. And then they had coleslaw. They had a really, really delicious coleslaw that was on the menu where I would be like, all right, I'm not going to get any of the fries. I'm going to get some coleslaw. Discontinued. That's the struggle of my days. They discontinued the coleslaw at Chick-fil-A. And I'm beside myself. I'm a fan of coleslaw. Can we get a shout-out for slaw? All right. So we've had a number of developments this week. And we've got Deutsche Bank. I saw that on blacklistednews.com. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty big. But I didn't think of Greg right away. But then when I spoke to him yesterday, it was like, yeah, Deutsche Bank. He spoke about Puerto Rico being insolvent and now being owned by the Yahoo Deem of Wall Street. I wanted to also mention that Clint's got a new video. You can find that over at Corporation Nation archives.wordpress.com. You can find it. It's up on YouTube under Corporation Nation, Clint Richardson. It's Nota. You can see his incredible creation to vote for none of the above. Check that out. I'm going to drop a link in the chat room so everybody can see Clint's latest creation on voters and electors, and just a complete sham is of this whole voting process, electoral process in the American corporation. Okay, so Deutsche Bank. Douchebag Bank, okay.
So Greg's been crying about douchebag for quite a while. He's been talking about the douchebag falling for quite a while, so give credit where credit's due, huh?
Yeah. It's inevitable. Yeah. All these huge banks have to fall in order for them to reconfigure their, you know, the world bank that we've been hearing about for years from Melonhead Jones and so many others.
Yeah, that, or they're using it as the perfect excuse to rape people, you know, create the environment so everybody shorts their stock, and then they come in with a rescue and wipe them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep doing it repeatedly over and over again, and it's, you know, it's a head scratcher. Like, wow, they do it all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Did it this week. I didn't think they were going to collapse. They're not going to let the 11th largest bank in the world collapse. It brings down too many people.
Right. And in addition to
that. Just make people think that.
Right. In addition to that, and I was speaking about it this morning over here on the Sludge Report, final assault on Aleppo. Russia warns the USA. Forced words. Fierce words. We're already in World War III. Does this take a you know, in the grand scheme of things, everything's going to shit. I like to break down a little bit of it so that, you know, so that I understand it a little bit more. I know ultimately that the whole system is satanic and destructive and absolutely just, you know, decimating lives. So
I want to just add my two cents into this because I'm going to be honest with folks. I think it's time that Americans get a little taste of war. I think Americans need, actually, to have bombs dropped on their cities. I think Americans need a good kick in the ass, a little bit of death and destruction of their own children to bring them into the reality that all these other countries suffer from every day.
And what we're paying our taxes into, right? We're paying our taxes into this war machine. They're over there. They're fighting proxy wars, killing children and women in Libya and in Syria, bloody fucking... innocent little children. And so, as I said, we are going to pay the price because it is going to happen here. And I think that's what Clint is
alluding to. The question. Like I was saying before when I'm... Go ahead.
Well, the question is, will our reaction be one of, oh my God, we can't allow this to happen to other countries anymore. We've been sitting here watching it happen and praising it as if it's some patriotic fucking thing. Or will we just get angry and our anger will be directed like that of 9/11 to, you know, to go kill more people? That's the real question. Can they manipulate us and make us angry enough to support or stupid enough to support more destruction of other countries? Sort of like the 1984 model.
There's no doubt. It's exactly what they're gonna. We're gonna call for, hit them three times as hard as we ever have before. The made up enemy. Let's hit them hard. Whoever you tell us is the bad guy, let's go hit them three times. That's what the American people are gonna say.
Well, I don't know if anybody has. You know, last night was telling you guys when we were off air. Last night was the. They called it the National Night Out. Mm-hmm. Okay, and here where I'm at, there was a big, you know, police love fest with at a Target parking lot where they had all the SWAT teams and, you know, big government crush the little guy, you know, type of stuff with thousands and thousands of people there all, like, giving, you know, praise and heaping praise and glory upon the police. On the police state. When you see something like that, you're like, you know what? Bring on the bombs.
Yeah. Well, as part of the small group of people out here who are actually rooting for comets or some other large celestial force to wipe us all out, I agree with you. I like I said, it's time for an enema. This place needs an enema. We need something to wake us the hell up from how we're being controlled. We need to see the carnage that we are causing everywhere else in the world. And when I say we, let's not forget, when we say United States, we're talking about a small little corporation in between what Virginia or West Virginia and whatever it is on the Potomac River. We're talking about a very small little corporation that was built as a war machine for the fucking Vatican. All right, that is what we're talking. We're not talking about the states. We're not talking about all this land, this territory. That we call the states. We're talking about that little corporation there that we have a president and a senate and all that stuff. That's what we're talking about. I want people to be clear that when people say they hate the United States in other countries, they're talking about our nation, that jurisdiction, that little tiny corporation that extends its frickin' branches all over the world. They're not talking about the reason they hate us is only because we're not doing anything about it. We're supporting it. We're consenting to it. We're even voting for it. We love it. It allows us all this great, wonderful benefits and fast food and all these great little things that we get to have because, we're killing people in every other country to acquire that and ensure that we continue in our benefits. That's fucked up, and I'd like to see it stop, Mike. So I'd like to see, again, the people of this nation get an enema and realize that what we've been doing, our silence is wrong. Our silence is worse than anything the United States
silence
can do.
Silence is consent. We're consenting to it. If you saw what I saw last night, you would say, you know what? The only way that we are going to wake up from this, the only way that there is going to be, is for the bombs to start falling.
Well, I mean,
otherwise, that television is so good that getting people, controlling people's minds. As long as that TV is going and there are movies playing, there's no way that enough people are going to become Christ-like enough to change this system. Now, maybe they're going to drive it to the point where it's so miserable and things get so unpleasant for people. Like, it's going to get unpleasant for people in Puerto Rico and other places where they're now just not even hiding it anymore. You know, they're putting it out there in full regalia for everybody to see. Maybe they want everybody. Maybe they look at us and say, these people are just so damn stupid. Let's just show them what's coming.
Well, the thing is that we are being demonized. I've seen a number of videos. We're being demonized a lot of other places in the world. The only people that don't know are the citizenship, or most of the citizenship in this country, corporation. They have no idea what's going on, whereas there's other people out there that are saying the U.S. is doing this, the U.S. is doing that. So they're focusing on us in this global, you know, in these global eyes of the world. We are going to be demonized because America has to fall. America has to fall before they can achieve some of these other things that they need to achieve. America has to be brought down, so we will be demonized. And it might not be in a Red Dawn style event, but the events are going to take place, and it's going to be racial, civil.
It's not. It's already happening. It's not Red Dawn. What I saw last night, that was Red Dawn. Yeah. Okay, well, we are in Red Dawn already.
Pretty much.
The police state.
The police state is Red Dawn. We have been, and the glorification of this whole thing, I tell you, it's sickening.
Well, and the question becomes, are we talking about United States troops, or are we talking about UN troops, which include United States troops?
Well, I think maybe that's the next round of it, if things
Once the police
they're not going to lose control of anything. I think they're quite satisfied with the results they've gotten. There's no need for UN troops to be. What for? What? People fall in line with the police anyway. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, there's going to be the people that do because they want to be protected from the people that don't like the police. You know, so it's divide and conquer on the commoner level. Like
so. On a side note, you know, I've been talking to my friend Greg. Another Greg, and we've been talking about going to a gun show for a while, and so I was like, dude, we gotta go get stoned and go to a gun show and make fun of people, right? Make fun of the preppers, make fun of the gun people, and we did, and I gotta say, it was one of the most eye-opening experiences of my life. Was we're walking around the gun show, I've never seen such a vast array of conforming people, right? So all these people, they had the same dress. It was very much like the hippie movement, or the reverse, or the opposite, the opposing force of the hippie movement. It was like the hippie movement got off on having no power. These guys get off on having guns and having power, right? But they don't really have power. It's just a movement. It's just a controlled opposition. So you've got all these people walking around these gun shows, and all of a sudden, someone comes over the loudspeaker and they say, "We here at the Crossroads of the West gun show, we are very patriotic. We love to support our troops and da 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 and police and da 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 da." And I look around and I'm like, "What the hell's happening here?" And Greg and I are looking at each other like, "Oh my God, this is going to happen." And we look around, we see all these people, and they're still conducting business as if nothing's happening, but they're all listening, just like I was, to the loudspeaker. And she says, so we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance all together. So please take off your hats and put your hands on your hearts, and let's say the Pledge of Allegiance together. And everybody did their commerce until the very second that pledge started. And then every single person in that big, massive, you know, thousands of people just stopped, took off their hats, put their hands either in the military salute or whatever, and they said the Pledge of Allegiance, right? And I'm going, oh, my dear God, these people have no... They are the most conforming people ever. There is no gun culture. There's no real culture of adversarialness out there. These people were about to let... I mean, they were ready to let police butt-fuck them. I mean, that's how these guys... They were so conforming. They were so happy to say the Pledge of Allegiance. They have no idea that what it is they're fighting is the nation, the actual... structure of the nation. They have no idea that that is the actual enemy. That is the thing that has enslaved them, put them into personhood, put them into franchise. They have no freaking clue. They actually think the nation is what makes them free, having no idea that free, of course, means franchise. I was shocked. I was purely and utterly shocked. I couldn't even make fun of it. I had to just take it in. And they're looking around. Each one of them is looking around to ensure that everyone around them was also saying the pledge. And I sat there with my damn hat on looking at them like, wait, you fools, what the hell are you doing? And they looked at me like I was some kind of mongrel enemy because I wasn't saluting the flag. My God, it was the most pathetic thing I've seen. And that, in a nutshell, is our culture. It's a bunch of slaves who have no fucking idea they're slaves. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. That was the perfect example of it. And I'm telling you, man, the gun movement is just the hippie movement with a uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well said.
Okay, that's my rant for today.
Okay.
That pretty much nails it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you see,
free all the bombs!
You see it out there. You see a lot of these, you drive through townships, and they'll say we support the local police, and and it's a nice thing to say as supporting your fellow man, fellow woman. But at large scale, like has been said many times, we don't know who we are, we really don't know how they look at us. We still actually believe that we vote and we're responsible for the president, the presidential election, and all these other things. Just the very fact that the money that's spent on these fucking commercials where these politicians say, hey, Katie, she's a douchebag. They should just say that. They should just be like, what a whore. And just say like they would
I'd like to start a campaign. Yeah. I support my garbage man. Because at least he does something for me. At least he actually is there for me. Every week he comes and he collects my trash and he's a totally unsung hero. Whereas the police officer doesn't show up until after I've been fucking abused and my shit has been robbed.
Well, that runs...
And he usually charges me for the crime.
Well, that runs into...
to exact from me.
Voting for trash-filled dumpster in 2016.
That's right.
The trash-filled dumpster and stall toilet. So...
Yep.
Or no,
I think they're the best qualified.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, seriously, guys, when you... If you get a chance, go out to – I'm going to post it in the chat room, the Clint's latest video. And there it is, Radio Archives. Oh, is it a Radio Archives or is it on the
I didn't put it on the Corporation Nation. I don't know. I haven't accessed it so long I can't remember the password.
No, here it is. Here it is.
It's on my straw man story info.
I have it here. I'm going to paste it in. I'm going to paste it in the chat room for everybody.
So, on that note, just so you know, India has the same exact system we do. Very few countries have the same system that we do. It's such a corrupt system. But India happens to be one of those systems.
Really?
All right. And they actually... So they have an electoral college, an indirect vote for president. They do not... The people do not vote president, right? they actually got, and this is the same. This is the same exact thing that would happen in America if we were to actually do exactly what India did, which was to put a no to a none of the above option on the ballot. Okay, this is how corrupt the system actually is. Okay, here is this is Qureshi, who's India's chief election commissioner in June of 2010. From June 2010 to July 2012. Okay, so the chief election commissioner. This is what he said about the fact that the people actually in India at least know enough, not like the stupid Americans. At least India's common people know that they don't actually vote for president. That it's an electoral process, an indirect process. That their votes have nothing to do with it, and that they actually got a no to option to be put on the ballot. So you got all these candidates, and then none of the above, right? Yep. Well, here's what the election commissioner in India said. You know, it's just like America. We think we're free, but in fact, it's one of the most tyrannical countries ever. Tyrannical governments. It says the none of the above or no to button that electronic voting machines will have from now on does not give you the right to reject all candidates. He said the new provision does not mean that all candidates in a constituency stand rejected or defeated if a number of no to votes exceeds the number of garnered votes for the candidates by the highest vote getter. Here's his quote. He says, even if there are 99 nota or none of the above votes out of a total of 100 votes, the candidate X, and candidate X still gets just one vote, candidate X is still the winner, having obtained the only valid vote. The rest, all the people who's all the 99.9999% of the people who vote none of the above, they will still, the rest will be treated as invalid or no votes. Qureshi said, that was actually in the Indian Express newspaper. They literally told the people that if you, all 99.99% of you vote none of the above and one asshole votes Republican or Democrat or whatever their system is over there, the one person that voted is going to decide the election. That will be the majority vote because it's the only actual candidate that got voted for. That's how fucked up our system is. So if 99% of Americans vote none of the above, even though we don't even have the option to do so, we are still voting the rest to... We're basically voting to be under the majority who does actually vote for a candidate. All right, that's how fucked up our system. That's how little of a voice we actually have. The majority will win, and the majority will be decided by the popular vote of the completely illiterate a-holes who actually believe that they vote for president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I want you to understand the most important lesson you can take out of this video, or what the national vote is, the indirect vote for president, you are voting yes. If I vote for Hillary, I'm voting yes. If I vote for Trump, I'm voting yes. If I vote for third party, I'm voting yes. The vote is yes. There is no option to vote no or none of the above. Okay? If I don't vote, I'm also voting yes. What is the yes vote? The yes vote is consent of the governed. Because I participated or didn't participate in the election franchise, I have allowed the majority of the votes to legitimize the electoral process, the electoral college process. I'm not voting for one candidate or another. I'm voting for one part of a whole, one member of a bloodline family that has ruled us since the Roman times and earlier. That's what I'm voting for. You see, you're not voting for president. You're voting to legitimize the electoral college. And it doesn't matter which candidate, they put both candidates up. The political parties appoint the electors, and then the electors are activated by the national vote, which is a bunch of idiots who actually think they're voting for president, and they're actually voting yes for the electoral college. That's how the system actually works. So no matter what you do, Whether you vote or don't vote, you're simply voting yes, because you have no choice. It's not a choice. Voting is a prayer, as defined by many dictionaries. Voting is a public prayer. Election is a choice. When you elect, you're making a choice. When you vote, you're simply saying, I'll take whatever the majority says. Whatever the Electoral College says, that will be my vote. That's how it works. It's completely rigged. It's complete organized crime run by the political parties, and it has been ever since this country was founded.
So get out there and vote, everybody. Oh, it's just...
Think about it, man. If that kind of lie can be passed on us, and the media can convince us every 4 years or 2 years that we have to go vote, even though our vote does not count for shit in any way you look at it, well, then what other lies are we falling for on a daily basis from this government?
It's one of the biggest deceptions that at some point, hopefully, will be documented and people will laugh hysterically at us.
At themselves for participating in it.
Well, I mean, you know, people
I don't know
that
you
maybe got passed on. People that got
you
passed
on. You can't minimize by saying, what else are they lying? The question is, what are they not lying about?
True.
They're lying about everything.
We've been deceived so badly.
You know,
so badly.
Go ahead, Charlie. I'm sorry.
We got about 4 minutes.
About 4 minutes? Wow. Yeah,
we got about 4 minutes. It really is one of the greatest deceptions. I mean, one of many. I mean, you know, you can encapsulate it as the great deception. Or masquerade.
I think it's delusion. Right? There's a difference between illusion and delusion. An illusion is something that a magician will cast and hope that people fall for. But when you're under a delusion, it's coming from yourself. And see, the reason people don't like to hear what I have to say is because I'm always saying, hey, look at yourself. Yourself is the problem. Don't blame the Jews. Don't blame the Rothschilds. They created a system and you fell for it. You actually consent to it. You even vote for it. You participate in the process. Don't blame it. Blame yourself. You're under the strong delusion that's talked about in the Bible. You're under that delusion. Don't blame the illusion for what's coming from your own mind. You're the problem. Oh, no, I got to blame someone else besides me. It's always got to be someone besides me, but
always,
no, that's not the truth.
It's always someone trying to push the blame on someone else, even in just little transactions, even in just little, communications. If something goes wrong, instead of going to try and fix the problem, somebody wants to focus on someone or something that they could blame it on. You know what I mean? It happens like and every fucking day. When you're dealing with computers, when you're dealing with networks, and that's just one aspect of it. People are always looking to blame someone. They're always looking to something or
Charlie,
some object.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie, don't you know if you see something, say something? Come on.
I know. It's just that, you know, people are just always, they're always looking to find something, some object, some person, whatever, some person, personhood, to direct, like, it's your fault, you're the one, you caused this. Hey, why don't we just focus on what the problem is instead of you getting your rocks off by trying to blame somebody for something? That's America. That's Nightmarica, man.
America, fuck yeah.
So, Greg, man, take us out with your prediction, man. How's this all going to fall down with Deutsche Bank and everything else?
And talk very quickly because there's less than maybe 30 seconds.
But basically it's wash, rinse, repeat. You know, bailout will come. People get wiped out on the shorts. They'll start the whole cycle again with another bank or, you know, with the Italian banks, and they'll extract as much as they can. And people will keep muddling along.
So it's just basically it's the holding company. They put all the shit into one company and then let that company fall. Basically is how it works. And then and we have to remember that as the stock market crashes, the common people lose all their shit. But all that is profit for, you know, what is lost is gain.
There is only one holistic system of sin.
Hey, guys. Okay. Go ahead and continue. I'm still recording this, so go ahead. Whatever you were going
to
say.
Basically, well, when people say a loss in the stock market, they never pause to think that someone is gaining from that loss. A loss, there is no such thing as only a loss. There's always the dualistic nature where what is lost is gained by someone else, right? So what mm-hmm. is gained is also lost by someone else. So they allow themselves to have losses until the point where they crash it, and that's the time where they take trillions and trillions out of the markets between all of them, and that's their profit for the next 7 years, and then they rinse, wash, and repeat, like Greg said. But you can never forget that someone is profiting off the loss, and that's what we've been trained to do. We only see the loss. We don't realize that, you know, if you... when the sand falls out of the hourglass, where's the sand going? Right? When the money falls out of the market, where's the value going? It's not just disappearing.
Well, it's like we didn't have time to say it before, but I, you know, the music stops and certain people wind up falling on their ass. And the question is how are those people going to take it? There will be some people in this who are going to be wiped out or others. So like you said, it's going to be just the wealth transfer over to them. So there's going to be inner fighting. There's going to be there's going to be gnashing of teeth, and there's going to be hell to pay. And that's where they'll be like, okay, well, you know, if you don't like it too bad, line up your chips on the table. Let's go to war. So yeah, we're in pre-World War III now, but I would imagine that it's going to go full hot probably in the next 24 months. I still think before the end of 2017, it's more than likely, but.
But I mean, I
can't even imagine what that means to World War III because of how advanced warfare. We're in fifth generation warfare, which is mostly frequency psychological, you know, babble, basically. I mean, I can't even imagine what World War III would look like.
Just more propaganda and misinformation.
They got to get rid of a lot of people. So, I mean, it could be World War III can just be it actually could wind up being just
let me ask you this, Greg. Don't you think that let's just look at it like sort of the Hollywood model, right? There's reality that happens, real true history, and then there's Hollywood history, right? To think of World War III being fought with rifles and tanks and things would be the Hollywood version that they're showing people. But the real World War III would actually be those who are controlling the images of World War III, fooling us into thinking we're actually having a war like World War II, where bombs are being dropped and that kind of thing. But the real war is a psychological one. Where and the food that and the vaccines and all these, that war has been going on for some time, and if you can put the theater of war as the Hollywood version of World War III, where yeah, people will die, the real war it's a never ending thing that's been happening for quite some time, where they're poisoning us, killing us slowly, using frequencies and setting up all these different satellite dishes and everything else to control us in ways that we can't even imagine. I mean, you can read about fourth generation and fifth generation warfare. There's two wars going on. One's the real one, and one is, as they call, the theater of war, or the Hollywood version, which is bullets and tanks and world leaders and everything else. But, I mean, in truth, don't you think that what the real war is more of a spiritual war against us?
Sure.
Well, you're right. That's the real war, but they have. I think they're going to start eliminating bodies soon. That's all. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, the real war is against us because if we ever found out, it wouldn't take Russia or somebody else, as an enemy. They wouldn't be able to function anymore. And I think that's why they're planning the fucking total devastation to us. In addition to having the war theater there to distract everyone.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's like a public war and a private war, a secret war that's happening almost at all times anyway. It's just the trick is to see through or past the theater of war, the one that's being put on for show, for media, for, you know, to convince us that we are at war. That the enemy is not the very, you know, the very governments that are pretending to be at war. That's what I'm trying to get at. The enemy is clear. I mean, the enemy is the very same enemy that runs the, you know, that does all the pharmaceutical tests and the FDA and all these. That's where the real war is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people really have grasped that yet, that the theater of war is only a mask. And as long as we're concentrating on the theater of war, which is the physical violent stuff, then we're completely going to bypass the fact that we're at war with that which controls us. Control means govern.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, but people will never see it that way. You know?
No, they
even though they label us as enemies of the state. I mean, that's in the law. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the truth is right underneath the noses of the commoner denizens, and you know, it's just too painful to, you know, they don't want to go there. Don't go there. You know, we've been told
and
not,
you know,
to go there, so we don't go there.
It's been like this for thousands of years, though. It's been, you know, I don't think it's anything new. I just think the means of, you know, the means of being able to control the illusion are far more efficient today than Abraham.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I would compare it to the gladiator, you know, put people in an arena and watch the theater as the gladiators fight is the same thing as, you know, as war. It's just, it's entertainment. And so every once in a while you have to bring the entertainment out of the arena, put it onto a worldwide show of glory and power, to knock people back down, you know, to their knees.
Yeah.
I guess would be the best way of putting it. Yeah. So right now, all we're seeing is that it's coming out of the arena. It's coming out of the control of the Colosseum, and it's going to be out wild for a while.
Yeah.
And everybody will say, "Oh crap! Wow, the power of the," and we'll all cow and we'll all bow to the powers that be, because we'll fear war, and everything will go back to the model we've been talking about, which is the United Nations, you know, one world this, one world that. Because otherwise, we'll, you know, look what war will do. Look what the ravages of the theater of war can do. But I think, I gotta be honest, man, I really do think this. I think the only way that can work is if finally the virgin soil of America actually has some serious shit happen to it. Not just 9/11, one building, but entire cities destroyed, so that we actually have that fear. Because right now the American people are almost fearless when it comes to that. They're so not used to any bombs having, you know, being dropped on their front door,
hey,
or their children's schools,
yeah,
or their hospitals being destroyed in undeclared wars. How can Americans possibly be cowed and put to their knees when they believe they're free?
Clint, that doesn't happen to number one. We're number one. Those things don't happen to number one. That happens to everything else, but you know, number one.
Yeah, but don't you think it has to happen?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. But again, the lock that this, the control that they have over, you know, the people's, this false reality that they love living in, that they just, you know, that they think that we're number one. I there's going to be elements of society that say, no, I'm not buying this. Why have you done this to us? And then they're you know, and then that's gonna create another divide and conquer between those and what did Palpatine call them, those who will not, the nonconformist.
Yeah.
You either conform because we're in a state of crisis, which Clint has already, informed us that, you know, everything, we are at war constantly.
At war with the emergencies.
Emergencies are wars. Everything's an emergency. The war on drugs, this, that. So there's going to be those that just fall into line, and then there's going to be those that, that do not. And then you're going to have your 1984 scenario and all that stuff. I mean, they're going to control it along the line.
So then the other concept of this, you know, because we have so many monopolies laws and antitrust laws, is the notion that the economy is crashing, but at the same time, mergers and acquisitions are happening. So, I mean, technically, a war is a great thing to merge corporations as well.
I mean, but it's obviously not going to be.
It's all just a Game of Thrones, really. You know, if you think about it.
Nothing that they've ever done really was for the prosperity of the people. It's always, I mean, you look at it, we got to make more jobs. And then the slaves are like, yay, more jobs. More jobs.
They shouldn't be. No, yeah, it's like more jobs. Nothing like, hey, we're going to give you a better life, you know, more leisure. No, we're going to work more. You're going to be more productive.
You want to work?
Right.
We're going to make it. We're going to work. We're going to get you back to work. We're going to bring all these countries back.
It's that divide in mentality where, you know, if you're going to be working for someone else, I'm not sure why people wouldn't be for, and perhaps that is why more people are interested in socialism and systems where you don't actually have to work as much, right? You go 4-hour or a 4-day work week or maybe a 4-hour work day. That would be a natural desire for people who are working for someone else and getting paid shit wages. I mean, that actually makes sense to me. I don't know why more people aren't interested in that. Now, if you were actually had a government that said, we want you to be responsible for yourself, a government that actually said, we want to limit government, we want to limit the amount of power that government has over you, and therefore we want you to be independent, we want you to do the right thing. We want you to work for yourself. We want you to grow your own food. We want you to have farms. We want you to have cattle. We want you to have chickens and eggs and vegetables and fruits and all the things that will keep you independent of this monopolistic system that we set up, this company store that is America, right? We are the United States. That would be a completely different thing. Then you'd have the mentality out there, not of socialism, but of the opposite, of saying, hey, I want to be separate from the cities. I want to have my own land. I want to have my own thing. So it actually is in the best interest of government to keep people from, of course, having their own land, having their own working for themselves, working their own land, right? Which is exactly where we are. This is how you know we don't have a good government or a government of the people, et cetera, because it's completely against us being at all in any way self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually kind of like, you know, people, if I was you, I would want to go to a socialism system because your government is in complete control over you. You might as well go towards the Brave New World model and allow it to happen because all of your labor is literally going for the benefit of your principal. You're employed. To employ means to use. You're being used to further the corporation, the government. I mean, why not seek, if that's the way you're going to allow yourselves to be treated as fucking voluntary servants and slaves, why not go for the socialist system? It would be much better, right? But if you want to be self-sufficient, if you want to live under the law of God and the law of nature, well, then you're going to have to become self-sufficient. You're going to have to detach yourself from the teat of government. Otherwise, I vote for the socialism angle because we're all being used anyway. We might as well have it as good as possible and let the whole thing fucking just collapse in on itself anyway. I don't know. Just fuck.
Thanks, well, collapse it will because that's how systems operate, you know? They only go so far. You know?
Yeah.
that's why I think when they talk about, you know, they're going to bring about the dead bodies, that's, we're at the end of the game. They got to recreate the game. They got to press, you know, start over. And how, you know, that's how they're going to do it. And create a real catastrophic event. They'll be protected. They don't care. When this happens, I don't know. I think it's a certainty that it happens within at least the next 15 years. I mean, they're already telling us it's what's going to, you know, that this is what's going to happen. So
you're more optimistic within that time frame. I think it's going to happen a lot sooner.
I think, you know what it is? I think they give us the opportunity to change it. I mean, you know, they do provide us with free will.
Well, so what I find so interesting, and why I think in the end the opposite, it's kind of a strange concept, but this is my theory. Right now, Russia is the new America. Russia is actually offering land to anybody. So Russia right now has the biggest people. They don't want people to know this. Russia has the biggest immigration rate, voluntary immigration. People are going to Russia like mad. Why? Because Russia is actually doing the homesteading thing that America once did. They say, here's some land. If you are self-sufficient enough and you have the desire enough to build up this land and to, you know, you get 2-point-something acres or 10 acres, I don't know what it is. If you can build up this land and you can, you know, make it work and work off the land, well, then you own the land. We are giving away land. We're giving you money to start that land. Literally, Russia is the new America. America, they did that long ago in order to expand all the companies, or colonies, as we called them. But they were just the Virginia Company and all the companies, right? The company store. And then eventually they stole all that land back, right, from the homesteaders. Well, Russia is now in that situation where they are giving away land in a homesteading fashion that says if you can work the land and you can establish a homestead, well, then you get to keep it. You get to keep it. No strings attached. You're free, as they say. Right? That's the new America over there. America is not a place. It's a concept. It's a concept of exactly that. Being able to take your own land and work it and live free of any, you know, as long as you're not messing with anybody else, you're free. That's the Russia that we're not being told about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Yep, it's the next outlet. It's wash, rinse, repeat all over again. We go down, they will rise.
Yeah, well, think of all the open land there in Siberia and all that area there that's just completely wild. We don't, you know.
Do we believe?
Yeah, but they need before that actually goes into full speed, they will need the plague. Yeah. Right. they need the plague first, and then once they have that, then you'll see it'll all go to Russia. It'll be a lot better, you know. And look, Russia, it's self-sufficient, right? I mean, even if you wanted to go, over there and start a business, they'll give you the money to start a business. It's a great opportunity for people over there right now.
Well, I mean, you can't say that the continent here is not self-sufficient. We've set up a system to make us appear not self-sufficient as a system of control. Russia is one of those.
Of course. No, they're in a self-sufficiency state right now, as we used to be. That's how they're operating. They operate under that is anybody's guess. They will be brought into the fold at some point, because I don't think there's any difference between the leaders of Russia or the United States. It's all being operated off of this legal system of landowners, and because this is how they control the commoners.
I would float the strange sort of theory that there always has to be some form of free state or America or whatever. There always has to be that sense of opposition to the rest of the world, and I think Russia is turning into the new opposition, America, right? And then in 200 something years, when it's time to have empire change and regime change again, there will be a new America, because Russia is built up as polluted and nasty as America is, the ideals completely turned around towards the new age and new world order, and then there will be a new America. Where that'll be, maybe Africa, maybe, you know, who knows? But there will always be some form of the American dream, even though that dream, as George Carlin says, is a fucking nightmare, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The truth of it is far different than the dream, right? So I'm starting to think that there has to be in America a false sense of freedom, a false sense that the people are free somewhere in the world to give other countries hope who know, you know, aren't stupid enough to think they are free. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Oh, perfect. There has to be like that Hegelian dialectic. The juxtaposition. And then they inform them about it and say, well, you can come in here and do like a Radio Free America, right? And oh my gosh, there's this other place where people are doing great. And they find out, and they have so many men, they realize, oh my God, this place is a nightmare. You know?
I mean, I struggle with the whole, you know, Putin thing. And to for people believing now that Russia is fighting the New World Order, and you know, they are trying to stop what's going on in Syria, and I think they're helping, but at the same time, it's like I can't help but think that it's all orchestrated at the top.
Think of it this way, man. If you look at the history of America, you had a bunch of people who came over here specifically because they were establishing themselves or trying to establish themselves, or they were indentured servants and they were trying to eventually get to the point where they could homestead and have their own land, et cetera, right? Those people are much more – those people would actually fight for their country in a realistic way because they have the sense that it's theirs. Americans today are so caught up in the, you know, they're so happy to be controlled, so happy to be in this system, and our soldiers are, I think a lot of the soldiers are waking up and realizing that what they're fighting for is purely just wrong. So who do you think, you know, is going to, you talk to Russians that have ever come to America, they're like, oh God, I can't wait to go back to Russia, right?
Right.
You know, who's going to fight?
I know many Russians don't feel that way.
Well, I've never met any that said, oh my God, we came here thinking it was something, you know, falling for the illusion, and now we see it for what it is and would rather go back to the homeland. Because there is a sense, as America used to be, there's still a sense of that homeland in Russia, which is the same sense, I think, that Americans had back in the early 1800s, late 1700s. I think they were willing to fight for the land, you see. But we don't have any land. We have nothing of our own. And people are starting to realize that. I mean, if you don't know, well then, you know, you got to be crazy. But that's America. I think there's a mentality over in Russia that people actually fight for the territory, the country, the land, whereas in America we're like, what the hell are we fighting for? You know, and mm-hmm. I think that would be the stronger will, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't own any property here. It's, you know, people haven't, once people figure out that, see, that's the Achilles heel of the system, is that they don't own the land, right? That's why when I talk to a lot of people in the oil business, you know, because there's this thing about mineral rights. You know, you discover oil in your own property. Do you own it? And the reality is that they're going to let a certain amount of that go through, so it keeps the illusion alive.
Right.
But they'll set up control boards like the Texas Railroad Commission and others, which are facades for the landowners. You know, these are controlling agencies that are controlled by the actual landowners. And they excise a tax, but then they'll tell you, well, you own it, and it gives people the illusion that they actually have mineral rights on their property.
So again, you're doing all the work and improving the land and doing all this work, and ultimately it all belongs to the landowner.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they subtly.
And they don't even know, and you try to tell them, well, you know, you really don't own the land. You just own the land use. Well, what do you mean? You know, if I own it, I can, you know, I they don't come in and take my property. Well, no, they do. That's called eminent domain. They do it all the time. However, in some areas of the country, they don't want to do it. They would rather have you go and develop the land. Yeah, sure, they will give you. You will actually become very wealthy with Federal Reserve notes in the process. But you still will not own anything. They don't care if you have a bunch of debt instruments. You're just a tool in the system, in the game.
Right.
You know? In fact, they'll let you go out and promote it and say, look, you know, you too can be like Wu, right? Start your own business, blah, 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 and get everybody going.
See, this is what I mean, Greg. What kind of propagandist for the oil industry are you anyway? First you're like, hey, let's put oil on your land. Oh, by the way, you're being used like a fucking fool. You might make some money off it, but you're never going to actually own anything, so fuck you. Let's do it anyway.
Yeah, but
I think that if you have it, by all means, take advantage of it. Don't allow yourself to suffer. All right?
Yeah.
But understand who you are.
Yeah, understand exactly. You're doing it.
Don't have any delusions, not illusions, but delusions.
Yeah, that's become my philosophy too. Is look, my only goal is to teach you who you are and what you're pretending to be, and you might as well stop pretending to be anything else than what you are, right? So I don't care what you think of my information; it's all true. So you can take it or leave it. All I want you to do is realize what you're participating in, what that participation causes, which is a consent of the governed to allow this corporation and many corporations, which are called nations, to do horrible, horrible things, not only to us, but to other countries. That's all I want you to know. That's it. Period. I just want reality. That's it. Here's the illusion. Here's how you're delusionally participating in it. Either come out of it or accept it as it is. Accept that you're fucking evil or accept that you're fucking good and get out of it. Either way, you know, isn't that all that Jesus taught? You know, isn't that all that any prophet or anybody that's ever tried to correct things, isn't that all they've ever taught? Is you're caught in an illusion. Here's how the illusion works. You're either going to want to get out of it because you're moral, or you're going to want to stay in it because you're corrupt. Period. End of story.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if you know, by reality, I didn't put cold reality. The cold reality of who you are and what you're participating in, and nobody wants to know. Like, listen, don't tell me. I don't really need to know who I am and what I'm doing. And you know, and whatever happens to these people, you know, is going to happen to them. But it's
I guess more importantly is to say, remember, heaven and hell are not afterlife things. There's no afterlife in the Bible either. Heaven and hell are things that are on earth, and you're either going to create your own hell, or you're going to go back to creation, the original creation source, and you're going to remain in heaven. But I guarantee you that any hell that you're ever going to be in is one that you're going to help to create right here.
Well, when I speak to people about when I talk about the Bible and messages in the Bible, I'm seeing with a lot of these 20-somethings now that they've not only have they rejected religion completely, but the Bible is just hogwash. So they're not ever really going to understand that there is a message and that there is a want and desire for you to look into these things. But with the programming and the brainwashing, they know that people are going to be steered away from it. It's not, you know, like Greg said, with the free will. You're free to look at these messages and try to understand it and try to interpret them, but you're not gonna, because you've already lumped it in with Pope Francis and his fucking vile existence.
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem, is that you equate, or kids equate the Bible to religion. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that I mean, the only way I know to get around that is to say, no, it's not religion. Religion revolves around it, but it's not religion. The Bible is the law. If you understand that, if you understand that it's the foundation of law and it has nothing to do with religion, religions use it to justify their existence, pretending to be gods, but it has nothing to do with it. That's you can give that as much credit as the fact that Masonic lodges use the Bible as their sacred books. Right. There's nothing Christian about fucking or religious about Masonic lodges. It's just another system.
What is their question? What is their question that they ask? They say, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?" Isn't that one of the things that they ask you?
Well, until you get to the higher levels, and then they say, which direction do you want to go? Do you want to go dark or light? You know, do you want to become a warlock in the dark arts? Or do you want to continue to follow Christ? Because you can't get any higher in our levels once you get to a certain point if you're going to be a goody two-shoes.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, you learn the mastery of the way, you get taught the real world, and they show you how you... Use and abuse the commoners to your advantage and benefit, so that it becomes a heaven on earth for you and hell on earth for them.
And it's a protectionism. So you go to court. The judge is a Mason, a brother. You give him the sign, and he says, "Okay, brother, you haven't done anything serious, so I'm just going to let you go." "Hey, police officer, you are a Mason, which most are. No problem. I'm going to let you go." "Oh, you shot somebody? It was just a nigger. We're going to let you go." "Oh, it's okay. No problem." That's the mentality. That is the true secret of Masonry, is that it's organized crime.
Yep.
Protectionism.
Yeah. And they protect the system by becoming part of it, even at a, in the onion layer levels of the world, you become more indoctrinated. I mean, just look at the people that aren't Masons that are indoctrinated into the fallacies and all this other stuff, and then they indoctrinate large portions of them into Masonry. Because we need to feel like we belong to something, so we go into that, and then we're even it's even more of a saturated level of indoctrination that like you said,
and there
judges,
sits the Bible, there yeah. sits the law. The law says never participate in any of these things. Never participate in religion. Never participate in government. Never participate in personhood. Never participate in secret societies. Never follow fabled genealogy. Never follow the old customs of the Jews. Never do this. Right? The new law, the New Testament, sitting there unread, unknown. And people blame it because they see what religions have done, and organized crime, government, and religions have done, and so they blame the Bible, when the Bible was just the law that was being used to justify what opposes the Bible. And that's what frustrates me the most, because once I learned that, once I saw that the Bible was against everything that we do on a daily basis, I understood, I understand now why the church doesn't preach the gospel. I understand why religions hate the fucking Bible. I understand why the government is banning the Bible from school, and I understand why they don't teach us the actual original intent and version and language of the Bible. Why they say Latin and Greek are dead languages, because they don't want us to learn it. It's why they used to read the Bible in Latin, because nobody can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be a fool to dismiss the most important book in history.
Right. All right, so I think we got about an hour and 15 minutes of what we missed from the broadcast there. So I'm gonna try to get this to. I'm gonna stop recording now because I don't want to go over it. Let me kill this, and then I'll see if she can splice it